Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Poll.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
In today's podcast, we're going to look at the first preseason game. I know I told you I would give you your defensive battles, and we're going to do that later on this week, but I'd rather do a recap of the preseason game. And the reason being for that here at JoeBucksFan.com is I really don't understand what people watch sometimes. Just me. I'm going to give you positives. I mean, I took notes. The entire game, I took notes. It's all I did. My wife fell asleep. It's preseason football. And I sat there with a pen and one piece of paper. And I had positives and I had negatives. And I have the whole list. Now, the debate is, where do you start? Do you start with the positives? Or do you end with the positives and start with the negatives? However, if you start with the negatives, then people just think you're being negative. Let's start with a guy who people think was positive, but it, in essence, I thought wasn't that great. And if you're going to get excited over this particular player, it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season. The player I'm talking about is Byron Leftwich. The guy threw a touchdown. Big freaking deal. BFD. And I know on the internet I can cuss, but I won't. But big F-bomb deal. If the play before that is intercepted, the touchdown no more. Byron Leftwich, even on his touchdown pass, throws to the opposite side behind Brian Clark, who made a great play, made the catch, and got in the end zone. I wasn't thrilled with Byron Leftwich at all, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if he had a better game, but I didn't think Luke McCown was all that bad. You got to look at the situations, and there's so much to get to from the game, so I don't want to make this a 30-minute podcast. But you got to look at the situations. Luke McCown, each time he started a possession, was at the 20-yard line, right around the 20-yard line. Byron Leftwich, what was it, his first possession was after a turnover, and he was at the 26 going in? Well, he should have success in that situation. I've seen my fair share of Byron Leftwich, Jacksonville in Pittsburgh. If you're excited over Byron Leftwich over just a few series, just be patient. The true Byron Leftwich will definitely stand up. Now, I'm not saying that Luke McCown had a great game either. And I, for one, will admit, I've read it here at JoeBucksFan.com. I didn't say, and I never have said, that the Bucks are trying to showcase Luke McCown so that they can trade him in the preseason. I've said the ideal situation for the Bucks is for Luke McCown to go out and have success and be the starting quarterback to start the season, have success, and have trade value after this year's over. Not to showcase him and try and trade him. That's the ideal situation. But if Luke McCown's not the best guy for the job, then obviously he shouldn't be the starting quarterback, whether you want to showcase him or not. Just the ideal situation is for Luke McCown to win the job, start the season as the starting quarterback, have success, and then have trade value after this year. I don't know if that's going to happen. Luke McCown looked like a backup quarterback Saturday night. But then again, to me, so did Byron Leftwich. Sure, he's got a strong arm, but I've seen him overthrow specific wide receivers. Maurice Stovall was streaking down the field, overthrew him. You know, that can't happen. But see, that's the patience that hopefully Bucks fans have this year. Because you're picking between Luke McCown and Byron Leftwich. And if you're getting excited over either of them, temper that enthusiasm. Curb that enthusiasm, if you may. Let me tell you about another guy who did impress me on Saturday. And I've been accused of maybe having a man crush on this guy, but he doesn't get opportunities. If you go to practice as much as I have, and you see, and I'm talking about Josh Johnson, when you see Josh Johnson out there and they give him an opportunity, and there was one practice in particular where they gave the quarterbacks the ball at the 20-yard line and told them to drive down the field. Luke McCown got the first shot, threw an interception. Byron Leftwich got the second shot, threw an interception. Josh Freeman got the third shot to drive down the field, threw an interception. It was finally Josh Johnson's turn at this one particular practice. He drives his offense all the way down the field, coming in, about to score a touchdown. And before he could call the next play, they blow the horn, call the drill, cancel the drill, and that was it. Why would you do that? Why not let them complete the drill? Not just maybe to see if Josh Johnson can lead his offense into the end zone, but don't you want that mentality maybe for your entire team that you're driving down the field and, oh, instead of, you know, letting them complete the drive and score the touchdown, you stop the drill? That was not a good move. Whether it was the head coach's call or whether it was an assistant coach's call, I don't care if the time is up on that drill or not. You finish that drive. People have also said, I want to see Josh Johnson with the first teamers. You're not going to. They're not going to give him that opportunity. And I don't know if he's ready for that opportunity. I mean, damn, we didn't even see him that much last preseason. And he steps in. He was the only quarterback on the Buccaneers Saturday night. Granted, I don't care if it was against four stringers or not. He was the only quarterback that took a drive from the Buccaneers side of the field, drove down the field, and scored a touchdown. The only one. Byron Leftwich threw a touchdown after an interception, and he had great field position. And maybe I will get an opportunity, but I would love to ask Raheem Morris. He's got the arm strength, he's accurate, he's mobile, he's athletic, and from what I understand, and from the people I've talked to, he's the smartest quarterback in the quarterbacks meetings. The smartest one. He knows the playbook, this new one, better than any quarterback on the roster. Now, how on earth do you cut a guy like that? But we're going to keep Luke McCown and Byron Leftwich. BFD, man. I'm not saying Josh Johnson's the future starter here. Josh Freeman's obviously that guy. You don't draft a guy in the first round to sit on the bench. But why give up on a talented guy like Josh Johnson? I see the talent. I hope you do too. No, he hasn't done it against first teamers. But maybe with an opportunity, maybe he can be your future backup. Oh, well, he's just going to be a backup in this league. Great! The Bucks need a backup to Josh Freeman for the future, don't they? Why not have that insurance? And who knows what could happen? I just wouldn't give up on a talented guy like that. Other things that impressed me from Saturday night, obviously Sabby Piscitelli impressed me. The run defense. Where was this? You could see the new defensive scheme in there. Those big defensive tackles, and two in particular, Roy Miller, for one, who John Lynch and Chris Myers were raving about. I actually really loved the play of Dre Moore, fourth round pick from last year. I mean, all this talk of Greg, you know, Stiles, G. White, whatever. He lucks into an interception, falling backward. and then he lucks into a sack. Oh, Styles should be starting. Did you watch the game? How many times have I told you that a defensive end sometimes is only as good as his defensive tackles? And on Styles G. White's sack, what happened? Dre Moore beats his guy at the line of scrimmage, gets penetration up the middle, forcing Kerry Collins to roll to Styles G. White's side and right into the arms of Styles G. White. Did make the tackle, did make the play, but I'm going to credit at least half a sack to Dre Moore on that one. That's something that the Bucs did not have a year ago. Hopefully they've got it this year, both in Dre Moore and Roy Miller. I was very impressed with both those guys. To me, the debate is over, too, at the running back position. This is a negative and a positive. My one negative at first was the offensive line, starting offensive line, and Ernest Graham. Terrible. Could not run the football. That's inexcusable. However, when Derek Ward got into the game, I know we like Ernest Graham, local guy, went to Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Mariner down there. Played at Florida. His whole story is great. But it's so obvious and blatant that Derek Ward is the more explosive and probably better running back. He's going to get the job. Derek Ward impressed me big time. And you know who else impressed me on offense running the football? Clifton Smith. You have to find a way to get this guy some touches during the game. You have to. Clifton Smith with his speed, his vision, and vision, one thing that I think is so underrated, I hear Ian talking about the offensive line and blocking for it, for this zone blocking scheme. Now, that's the blocking part of it. But as a running back, you have got to have excellent vision because it's all about cutbacks. It's about seeing the hole, cutting back, and hitting the hole. I don't know if there's a better running back on this team that can do that than Clifton Smith. The real question is whether or not he holds on to the ball or not. Brian Clark was obviously a huge game for him. And to me, he's your number one, number three receiver right now, both on offense and on special teams, which was encouraging. What else we got here? Mike Nugent hitting a 51-yard field goal was impressive. Things that I did not like, Cordes Hankton. Raheem Morris has been talking about him. He drops a few passes. Torrey Cox got beat. If they have one of their starting three corners go down, look out, because they have nobody behind them. No one. Geno Hayes was not really impressed with Geno Hayes all that much. Played most of the second half. Just didn't make any impact plays. Saw him getting pushed around a little bit. Was not impressed with him. And one thing I really did not like, not sure if you saw this, Jovan Hay, now playing for the Titans. Somebody get the guy a belt. I don't need to be staring at Jovan Hay's ass crack at all in my life again. Please, somebody get Jovan Hay a belt. We'll strap up his pants, keep them around his waist, and thus Jovan Hay's ass crack stays out of our face. All right, that's today's podcast as we take a look back. Listen, positives and negatives from every preseason game. Later on this week, I'm going to take a look at some of the defensive battles the Buccaneers have going on at training camp. So make sure, continue to come back. I know Joe Bucs fan, the guys here, Steve and Lee. I know Lee was up in Tennessee for the game. So, I mean, these guys are covering the Bucs like nobody else, giving you great Buccaneer coverage and giving you their opinions. It's not just about telling us what's going on, but tell us why. Tell us why it's important and tell us why it's not. That's what these guys do. That's what I do. That's why I love being associated with this site right here at JoeBucsFan.com.